Hey guys, and this is going to be the beginning of everything tech. It's just going to be basically talking about everything that's been going on in technology for the day or the week, or any amount of period time period like that. Okay, so I'll just begin. I'll just begin here in a second. Let me get it up. Let me get my list up. Okay. First headline is that HP has confirmed a WebOS tablet for early 2011. I'll give you a little mini description about it. You've heard that HP's Todd Bradley confidentially told employees that a WebOS tablet would arrive in quarter one of 2011. But now the man's on the record in the company. It's quarter three 2010 earnings call. You'll see with Microsoft products out in the near future and a WebOS-based product in early 2011. He told investors and analysts in response to a direct question about the tablet this afternoon, adding that potential slates were part of the reason HP bought Palm in the first place. Now we're not financial experts, but we've heard it's typically a good idea not to promise things to shareholders if you don't intend to deliver. In other words, there's a good time for the Palm Pad. It's actually not an imaginary friend our subconscious created after Mark Hurd's hateful words in June. And next headline is Android is booting on an Acer Aspire 1D255 extensively. Acer just told us it had no intimate plans to bring a dual booting Android and Windows XP Aspire 1D255 stateside. And after seeing in-depth video, no, it's really not 14 minutes long. One of the 10-inch netbook in action, we can't see where all the upset about the news. Yep, the netbook news team snatched a light blue version of the new netbook in Taipei and thought they were impressed with the thin design, including a case that had less positive things to say on the software end. Not only is a Windows XP desktop ridden with crapware, but the Android implementation is still half-baked. Similar to the first-generation Acer Aspire 1D250, the Android 2.1 interface is really good for searching the web and checking email since it does not have access to the market. Of course, we urge you to sit back and watch the lengthy hands-on video, the break, to make your own call on this $299 Lappy, or whatever, I can't pronounce that name. But ultimately, we're assuming you all the same in question. Acer, how's that Chrome OS netbook looking and coming along? Okay, that was about the Android, basically, whether Acer is going to try to going to get a dual booting XP computer with other OS with Android. Android and XP. And the next thing would be about, next headline would be about the Dell Thunder prototype preview. As Christmas came this year, as evidenced by the pic, you're looking at two Dell Thunder prototype smartphones, each with some surprising quirks and hints to the, it might include a global HSPA, AWS for the likes of T-Mobile, and maybe even a dash of CDMA support. That's like you don't have to use a SIM card, but you can. That's what a CDMA network is. We'll warn you ahead of the time that these labbed EVTs one for can't get. Don't expect the final headset to arrive without some significant difference. And the next thing we'll have is about the Sony is phasing out 120 gigabyte and 250 gigabyte PS3 SKUs. The later now going for $2.99 at Fry's. Here's a little story about it. From a supply chain management standpoint, this all makes sense. Why have four separate SKUs with various HDDs sizes when you're just pair will do? After announcing last week that 160 gigabyte and a 320 gigabyte PS3 Slim would making the landfall in the U.S. and Europe, it seems as if Sony has decided to phase out extending 120 gigabyte and 250 gigabyte flavors. There word on when the production of those will stop. But it looks like as if some retailers are already starting up fire sales on the new and old models. Now, old models. For those curious, that's a Fry's installation pictured above. And I'm getting information off Engadget.com. Engadget is a great website and you should go check it out for yourself. But it looks like I left my place on my notes. That's a Fry's installation pictured above, which is selling their leftover 250 gigabytes for just $2.99. It was the same price coming at 160 gigabytes unit. Next, I'll tell you for the headline about the Dell's Quarter 2 2010 sees 16% increase in the net income, flat revenue from consumer rate. First with HP and now with Dell, the PC maker posted its second quarter fiscal report, which actually gives a good perspective on the relative position on each company in the global PC market. Well, here's the house I've heard once reported a $30.7 billion and $2.3 billion operating profit. Dell posted $15.5 billion, which is up for 22% for Dell in revenue and $745 million operating income. Like we said earlier, operating income shouldn't be confused with the net income, which deducts those massive corporate taxes. Looking at the net, the company profited $545 million, up and impressively 16% year over year. Focusing on consumer unit was flat at $2.9 billion, while at the same time operating income incurred a $21 million loss. According to the press release, the company remains confident in that initiatives underway will improve operating margins for the segment. Is all this enough to quell irate shareholders? Chances are slim, but hey, it's a start. That came from Dell. Next, we'll be talking about the Canon PowerShot G12. It's been leaked out and promises HD video mode, which would be really great for a camera. I mean, it's just a cannon power shot, G12. It looks really neat, actually. It looks pretty tight. I'll give you some specs on it, and I'll read the little article. The manual exposure control and multi-aspect ratio image capture. That's what it. 10 megapixel, highly sensitive CCD sensor. 5 times optical zoom, 28 millimeters to 144 millimeters. 2.8-inch tilt to swivel LCD. manual exposure control, HD video recording, multi-aspect ratio image capture, optical image stabilizer, high dynamic range mode, and that is the list of some of the specs on it. Now I'll just read a little article that came in from the Pocket Lint and the Canon Rumors. Sorry, guys. To say that the Canon PowerShot G11 is growing long in the tooth would be understanding things rather dramatically, and with PhotoKina just a few weeks away, now as a good time as any to launch a prominent new camera in the world. In fact, Canon just finished outing a trio of point-and-shot models, but it seems the CNET Asia did not get the memo that a full foursome wouldn't be introduced. The publication originally wrote up on the company's new cameras featured a number of the G12 mentions. Thoughts throughout the text, a full-on specifications chart was captured above. If all this is to be believed, we're looking at a 10 megapixel CCD camera or sensor, 5 times optical zoom, 2.8-inch tilt and swivel. It could be an HD quality video recording, optical image stabilization, and inbuilt HDR mode. Topped off with a pinch of shish. Finally, I can't pronounce that word. SEESH, and it's finally coming to it. Obviously, there's no mention of a price or expected launch date, but something tells us that can't change dramatically before touchdown in colon. I don't know how to pronounce that. Town or wherever it is. Okay, here are some HP reports for Q3 in 2000 and some of the earnings. Post $2.3 billion operating profit. And to think that the $2.3 billion figure might have been in a few million higher if for not the absurd golden parachute that Mark heard will continue to float on the centuries to come. All jesting aside, HP published its Q3 financials today, reporting a healthy $2.3 billion in operating profit, not to be confused with net income, which deducts those massive corporate taxes, and a 5% tax increase. Excuse me, I didn't mean to say tax. I just meant to say, and a 5% increase over year over year. All told, third quarter revenue were listed at $30.7 billion, with the record amount of service signings. Interestingly, a whopping 63% of total HP revenue came out from outside of the American. Though we're struggling to find a specific mentions for Heard or Palm in the release. We'll be checking in the press call shortly. We'll let you know if anything's crazy going down. Next, that source came from XP. Now, next. CVS to sell $100 Selena netbook and $179 e-reader this fall. And Helena is not included. Watch out, Kmart. CBS is getting its own, its very own $100 smart book and $180 e-reader. There's nothing you can do about it. We've gotten a hold of some marketing materials which confirm that this fall your neighborhood drugstore will be stocking a Sylvina netbook running Windows CE and a color e-reader. There aren't too many details on the little laptop itself, although we can only guess the thing will be the video very similar to many things and will be cheap smart books we've seen lately. Oh, it does not claim to be able to stream video YouTube, but we'll believe it will see it play Bieber's Segway Escape without freezing up. There's a few more details on the 7-inch lookbook e-reader after the break. But it will pack 512 megabytes of storage, a full keyboard, and will have access to Kobo's ebook store. Seems like some good old cheap tech to us. But we're still willing to get out to the more than a few CVS shoppers. We would be tempted to throw of these into a basket along the deodorant and shampoo. Now, this article comes from, it does not have a source. I am surprised. I wonder why not. Shame on whoever wrote that one. Okay, next thing is going to be about the Droid Pro. Or is this the global version of the Droid 2, LVNV Touch 2, and will it be Android powered? Excuse me. We've learned from a source close to situation that rumored global version of the Droid 2 with GSM and CDMA radios is actually the same phone as also rumored the Droid Pro. Although Verizon apparently has the tendency to fiddle with branding rights until the last minute, so the retail name could still change. It's identically current to the Droid 2 in every way, except for the fact that it houses a GSM, HPS, and an HSPA radio for global roaming. Though we're not able to confirm previous rumors that it'll be available in a white version, presumably, you'll pay a bit more than Droid 2's $200 on a contract for the privilege of being able to talk to your buddies overseas, barring any last-minute details delays. I should see it launch within the next few weeks. If you're sick and tired of Motorola's, let's switch gears a bit and talk about the follow-up to LG's Envy Touch. Intrinsically, LG will be able to switch from a proprietary feature phone platform to Android for this one's called the Envy Touch 2. And will give it a dual touchscreen, one on the outside and another on the inside for where you flip open in a clam shell, as you might expect for an Envy branded device. There's also a full QWERTY keyboard. It's currently running Android 2.1. Now, it's not clear whether that able to upgrade that'll be upgraded to 2.2 by the time we see release toward the holidays. It's said to be pretty big and heavy, which could be a disadvantage for some people. But on the flip side, it's apparently a global device, so that's a plus. NVC Historical haven't been the most exciting things in Verizon's stable, but we'll admit it, we're curious to see this get fleshed out. And here's an update to the post. A tipster has written in to point the Droid 2 and the Droid Pro are showing two different devices in Verizon's inventory system, model number A956 and A957, respectively. Our original sources is adamant, though, they're the same device, so we'll need to wait to see how this pans out. As mentioned, Droid 2 Pro isn't necessarily go to the market for the name phone, but it's still being the name's still being tossed around, and internally right now for the device we'll know as a Droid 2 with global roaming. Let's get on to the next one. It's just it's just a really neat fact to know that the Sharpie is coming out with a liquid pencil, the aftermath, and is it permanent or not permanent? Who knows? Is it just a little extra? I like it pretty much. It looks pretty good. I think it's pretty good, the article is. And so it comes to this final bleak chapter of timeless Sharpie liquid pencil. If you'll recall, the liquid pencil first increased nerd heartbeats around the world a week and a half ago when it was launched, promising to write like a pen, erase like a pencil, and eventually draw like a Sharpie permanent marker. In fact, those were Sharpie's exact words, becomes permanently like Sharpie's marker after 3 days. The world seemed yet full of wonder. Our ambitions were limitless. We approached Champagne, campaigned, and conducted our first hands-on with great success. Indeed, the liquid graphite contained inside wrote like a pen and then erased completely. It's a simple pencil rising to the pages of Engadget. Could any story be more American, but then tragedy? Then a week later, we returned to our moleskin to test the permanency of our earlier scribbles, and found erased completely. Yes, given enough squinting and the optimism, the argument could be made. That the marks were slightly darker, but we'd been promised permanent like a Sharpie marker. Was that Sharpie liquid pencil nothing more than an elaborate ruse? Or hopes chastened? We click off another few moments or film documenting the fundamental trends of our creations to keep the best response, in which shall repair in the full after the break. Okay, guys, that will finish out today's episode of finish out today's Everything in Tech. Bye-bye, peoples. See you tomorrow.